Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight on Hercules and the Space Gods, I'm proud to bring you the Worldwide Religion of Love with Michael and Diane Duncan. Greetings and welcome, Michael and Diane.
Well, thank you so much, Hercules, for the wonderful introduction there. The Worldwide Religion of Love is alive and well, and we are here, the sixth revelation, to tell the story of the new Worldwide Religion of Love. I'm here. My name is Michael Duncan, actually Reverend Michael Duncan, and my lovely wife, Reverend Diane Duncan, is here, and we are here to talk about the Worldwide Religion of Love by way of the sixth revelation. And we have our wonderful friends on today on our program. It will be Nick Curto, and we are hoping to hear from our wonderful friend Gerald T. Farley. And Nick tonight is going to talk about, in honor of Halloween, he's going to talk about his wonderful stories about the Salem, his trip to Salem, Massachusetts. And that's going to be really amazing. We're looking forward to that. And hopefully we can have Gerald on, who will shed some light on the fifth dimensional reality and how we can attain that. But first, guys, I wanted to say thank you to our wonderful friend and our producer here, Hercules Invictus. Thank you so much, Hercules, for having us on tonight.
I'm really honored.
Thank you. And Diane just wants to say a little something before we go on.
Yes. Before we begin, you know, it's been always so wonderful to wish Gerald a happy birthday and Nick a happy birthday. And, of course, in May we have our Hercules having a happy birthday. But tonight is a special night for our family because Michael is having a happy birthday. And it's actually today.
Oh, happy birthday. Many happy returns.
Yes. Well, thank you so much.
So we've had a really busy day the last few hours and yesterday celebrating, and so we're just really looking forward to tonight. We're going to open some presents and cards and after the program and have a little ice cream and dinner and celebrate just a little bit more.
Yeah, we've got to have a little mint and chip ice cream because that's my favorite ice cream flavor.
Yep.
Hey, Nick, I wanted to ask you before I go on here, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream, or do you eat ice cream?
Wow, oh, you bet I do. You bet I do. there's always ice cream in my freezer, always. I guess chocolate would be my first one. I also really love vanilla. In fact, tonight after this program, I'm going to put vanilla ice cream out, and I've got New England apples that I cooked with butter and cinnamon.
Ooh.
And some brown sugar, and that's going to go on the vanilla ice cream.
Oh, my
God. Oh,
goodness.
You are doing something ravishing. Ooh.
My goodness. I would say my favorite would be mint and chip, and then I would say my second favorite, I don't know if you guys on the East Coast, because, you know, we're here in California on the West Coast, I don't know if you guys had Thrifty ice cream or the Thrifty stores.
Not that I can recall.
I don't know. I'm not aware of them.
Okay, we had a store, and there are like maybe one or two left. But when I was a kid growing up, we went to a Thrifty drugstore, and they had this their own brand of ice cream that they made. And they had some wonderful flavors. They had mint and chip, which I loved. But my second favorite would be one that they had periodically. It was called bubblegum ice cream, where they'd have the ice cream, and they'd have like the bubblegum balls, you know, in the ice cream. And that was really good. Loved that. And I'd say probably my third favorite would be blueberry cheesecake.
Yeah. Well, we have thrifty stores too, Nick and Hercules, when I was a little girl. But my father would take me to the thrifties and buy me one of those wonderful chocolate with chocolate ice cream, strawberry, and vanilla, and then it would be called a banana split with the chocolate sauce dribbling over it, you know, hot.
Oh, and that would be
at the thrifties. Yes. So I remember that,
Michael,
too.
I want to tell you, if I may, that I just bought something I think you guys might really enjoy. I got this little machine. It wasn't very expensive. And you put frozen fruit, bananas, strawberries, whatever. You freeze the fruit in your freezer, and then you put it in this machine, and it comes out as soft serve.
Oh, yes, yes. That sounds yummy.
And you really don't need other sweeteners. The fruit itself, and it's very healthy because it's real fruit, just simply frozen and then made into soft serve ice cream. And I can highly recommend it.
That sounds yummy.
Yeah, I make Michael a malt almost every day, and I use soy milk.
A smoothie, really.
Yeah, really a smoothie. Soy milk and usually grape juice with blueberries, fresh blueberries or frozen. And then I add yogurt to it. And I also add 3 or 4 big heaping teaspoons of peanut butter. And that's his favorite.
Wow.
Yeah, I love that.
That sounds really good.
And then we put it in the blender, of course.
And how about you, Hercules? What is your, do you have a favorite? Do you eat ice cream? And what would be your favorite flavor?
I love ice cream, but ice cream no longer loves me. The ice cream raises my blood sugar very quickly. My favorite flavor is French vanilla, though.
Can you eat like the gelato or like the sherbets or anything like that?
I can occasionally have the keto ice creams, the ones that are very low in carbohydrate and sugars. They don't taste as good as ice cream, but on the occasion where I really want an ice cream, I'll find one of those with the best sugar profile and have that as a treat.
Oh, I got you. What about we have a health food store out here called Mother's Market that's really nice, and sometimes they'll have like the oat milk based ice creams. Have you ever had the oat ones?
No, oat I also respond negatively to.
I got you.
Even fresh oats milled, which is recommended. I have a bad sugar reaction to that as well.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, what do you do? What do you like for like a yummy dessert that you and Athena enjoy?
Well, Athena still enjoys all her sweets. So she doesn't have diabetes.
Oh, okay.
I enjoy getting occasionally a Greek yogurt. That's flavored.
That's what we have too.
We love Greek yogurt.
Yes, we do too. Wonderful. That's so helpful.
I can't have too much of it, but every now and then I can have some.
Oh, yeah. We love the strawberry.
All right, guys. Okay. Well, we have a wonderful show here planned tonight, and hopefully Gerald will be on a little bit later. But I wanted to start out here with a song, and it's a song I just wrote, and I'm sorry Gerald can't hear it, but maybe he can hear the recorded version later, but it's a song called The Prayer, in parentheses, One World United, and it's a song that I'm just finishing up right now, called The Prayer, One World United, and the words are by Gerald T. Farley, as a matter of fact. He wrote a poem called The Prayer, but I put a refrain in. The One World United refrain. So I'm finishing up this particular song, my music and Gerald's words. I wanted to sing it, but first I wanted to just read a couple quick little paragraphs of from our love manifesto. Now we are telling the world about Gabriel's new worldwide religion of love and Aphrodite's new worldwide religion of love. And the love manifesto, this introduction, is part of a bigger work called the Love Manifesto. But it's just a couple of little paragraphs to introduce the worldwide religion of love. And after I do that, I'll sing the prayer, One World United, by Gerald T. Farley and me.
Maybe you could sing it again if Gerald comes on, maybe later. The
sure,
end
no
something.
Problem. No problem. Okay, so here it is. The introduction, or the first three paragraphs of the introduction to the Love Manifesto. There comes a time in the course of human events, amidst the vast arc of a particular planet's evolutionary cycle, when God, or the gods, feels the need to personally intervene in planetary affairs in order to assist the struggling, languishing creatures on that particular planet for the purpose of changing the course of their evolutionary trajectory. This intervention by celestial creators, administrators, overseers, judges of the realm, etc., is designed to, quote-unquote, correct the attitudes and behaviors of the individuals, and sometimes the collective whole, for the purpose of assisting in the fulfillment of the divinely designed evolutionary plan for that planet and its inhabitants. One such period of time, also known as correcting time, is occurring right now on Earth. The intervention in this case has been divinely designed and is called Gabriel's New Worldwide Religion of Love. Put plainly, at this moment, Earth's humanity is at least 50 years behind in the fulfillment of its divine evolutionary plan. Although there have been and are shining examples of individuals who excel in physical, moral, mental, and spiritual attainment, the bulk of humanity is struggling, languishing, and faltering in many of its efforts, or lack thereof, to progressively developing in accordance with God or the gods' evolutionary plan for the Earth and its human population. The worldwide religion of love, and this is me talking, the worldwide religion of love is being brought to us under the support of the local universe father, also known as Zeus in the Greek, and the local universe mother, also known as Hera in the Greek. Their plan that they have designed and are implementing is called the Worldwide Religion of Love, and it's being implemented practically by Gabriel, also known as Hephaestus in the Greek, and Aphrodite, known as Aphrodite in the Greek, or Mother Venus, or Venus in the Roman. So one of their goals is to infuse our hearts with more love, more divine love, more altruistic love, and to infuse our minds with divine truth, more spiritual thinking. So another one of their efforts, and you'll find it in this song that Gerald wrote the words to and I wrote the music, one of the efforts is to unite the world in love. So this song that I'm going to sing is called The Prayer, One World United. We are one global family, although our skins are of many colors, our souls are all the same color. One world united, one world united. We pray for peace and healing of our planet Earth. Peace for all nations, peace for our communities, and peace within ourselves. One world united, one world united. One world united, one world united. As we join as one across the world, let us connect heart, mind, consciousness to heart, mind, consciousness. Through our diversity, we recognize unity. Through our compassion, we recognize peace. One world united, one world united. Our love is the power to transform our weary world. Let us expand it out through our heart, mind, consciousness. Now, one world united, one world united, one world united, one world united. The prayer, One World United, by Gerald T. Farley and Reverend Michael Duncan. There's a key change in there that kind of baffles me without the accompaniment. So if I sounded a little strange there during the middle, it's because of that. But anyway, I have the background arrangement all set. I just have to record a couple little parts of the vocal, re-record, and then it'll be ready to be released. So this is kind of the world premiere of the prayer, One World United.
Yes, and I wanted to mention to everyone listening, for Nick and for Hercules too, that we have several gods that are present tonight. And the first one I want to introduce is the local universe father, or called Zeus in the Greek. And we have Hera, his consort, and we have Gabriel, and we have his consort Aphrodite. We have Clymene, and we also have Hestia. So I wanted to mention all of those, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that volunteered tonight to come and join us for the program. I go upstairs and I ask them, I pray and I ask them, who would like to come and join us for the program? And these are the 7 that have come tonight. So I want everyone to know that their presence is here with us, and I want people to understand that it is a real presence. They are really alive. They do interact with us, and this is a blessing. This is a blessing that they are here. Thank you.
Well, we have all of our celestial friends here, and we have our wonderful friends. And what a nice birthday gift, guys, to have you all here on my birthday. I won't tell you how old I am, but it's getting up there.
He's not that old.
Anyway, so I had a wonderful conversation with my dad just before we went on here, guys. My dad, David. So, Dad David, if you're listening, thank you for the wonderful conversation. I love you so much. I don't know if we mentioned to you guys, but just recently, I lost my mother in September, early September. We had the funeral on the 26th, so it's really nice to connect with my dad, especially tonight. Okay, so, and then let's see. When I was born, guys, I want you to know, I was born on the 28th of October, but 3 days later on Halloween, I got to go home for the very first time, which is, of course, Halloween. So Halloween's a really special time, celebration for me. And Nick, it sounds like in the past you've gone to a really special place I don't know, I guess kind of infamous at this point, but Salem, Massachusetts. So did you go to Salem, Massachusetts on Halloween?
Actually, yes. So me and my partner, Hal, drove there from Manhattan, and we arrived the day before Halloween so we could take some of the tours that are offered in Salem, Massachusetts. And then we were there, of course, for the Halloween day and night, and that was quite a trip, which I'm going to share with you. I think you'll find it quite amusing.
Oh, I didn't know they gave tours there. I'm just really in anticipation of what you're going to say.
Well, it was quite an adventure. It really was. And I have to say, well, first of all, Michael, just again, happy birthday to you, my dear, dear friend. And many more health and happiness always to you, certainly. And I love your new song. I can't wait for the final version with the instrument in it. I look forward to that. Just want to say that right at the beginning.
Thanks, Nicky. I'll send it to you as soon as I can. Thanks.
Excellent. Well, my trip, long story short, we drove again from New York City to Massachusetts and went all the way up to Salem. And it's good weather. Fall weather in New England is beautiful because the trees are turning colors, and it's a gorgeous time to be there. Now, as you know, Halloween this year is on Monday, October 31, and that 2022, which means school is the next day. So, I mean, school is on that Monday, so it's going to be difficult for the kids to go out and trick-or-treat and then go to school the next day. So it's going to be a little challenging for them. Now, New York, by the way, has the biggest Halloween parade in the entire world. It goes on for many hours. It goes in New York City. It's in the West Village area of the island, and there are many beautiful floats. There are literally thousands and thousands of men, women, children, including various family pets. We're talking dogs, cats, lizards, snakes. I've seen a couple of actual snakes around people. Oh, my God. And also they have large puppets. And I just wanted to let you know that. It's quite a festive occasion for sure. And you know, I'm from New England. I'm from Springfield, Massachusetts. And to this day, one of the expressions they say is, it was wicked good.
It was wicked good.
Isn't
that
interesting?
That. Yeah.
It's not just good. It's wicked good. And I think that probably goes back a long, long ways. And so the destination was Salem, Mass. We got there. We went to some amazing tours. On one of the tours, the tour guide, which was a woman, and she said that she was indeed a witch, a practicing witch. And so that took me back a little bit, and I said to her, are you a good witch? Literally said that, and she said, oh, yes. She said, I only practice white magic, never black magic. And she was very serious about that. She gave a wonderful tour of what was going on there, of the different homes that are there, historic homes that have been preserved for the public, and a wonderful museum that they have there also. I highly recommend that. And one thing you'll find very amusing, especially since you were talking about ice cream at the beginning of the program, my partner Hal said, oh, look it, there's an ice cream shop. We went in, and on the menu, and here it comes, they had unbelievable. They had an ice cream offering that we've never seen before. And I saw it and I said, they must be kidding. They wouldn't have a clam chowder ice cream.
Oh, no way.
No.
But yes, they did. But yes, they did. And I said, uh-oh, no, thank you, but no. But my partner Hal said, you know, I want a cup of that. I went, all right, you're on your own. So they got a cup of that kind of ice cream, and he took one bite, and I only wish I could convey to you what his face was like. He looked like he wanted to just lie down and die right there.
Oh, my. Oh,
he
dear.
He said it was by far the worst the worst thing he had ever eaten in his life. Now, that wasn't a big surprise to me, but, I mean, I give him credit for at least going ahead and trying clam chowder ice cream.
Did you try a bite or anything?
I took one little tiny thing, and that was plenty for me.
Well,
I backed off
tonight,
real quick.
Yeah, tonight we're going to have a little bit of pumpkin and also some coffee.
Good.
And then, of course, like
Yum.
Michael says, the chocolate mint. So that,
well, mint chocolate chip, yeah.
Well, that
chocolate.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, pumpkin,
that sounds
and
delicious.
It's an oat made from oats. So that should be really good.
It sounds it. It sounds healthy, too.
Uh-huh.
Now, they have, of course, the term witch hunt, just to put that on for just a second, used today, and it typically is used as a metaphor. People usually use the term when they feel they've been accused of a crime without any evidence whatsoever. And I think that would apply to witch hunt for Salem, Massachusetts, because they had trials. And one of the high points of our visit there was, and here it comes, they, in a very large room, it looked like a courtroom, and they had a transcript, the actors had a transcript of an actual witch's trial.
Oh, wow.
So the actors quoted from the transcript, which was pretty chilling.
They did like a reenactment?
Exactly. And it was, you know, the accusations that they made against this woman, and it was all noted down, and the acting was excellent. But before they did the verdict on the transcript, they stopped it. They stopped the show and said, "Ladies and gentlemen of our audience, knowing what you just heard, which was a transcript of this actual case of witchcraft, we want you to come to a decision if she is guilty or not guilty based on what you heard." And we got together, and the audience said, "Absolutely not guilty."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How interesting. But, I believe they did find her guilty in real life. They did find her guilty
of
that.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
You know, and it was really quite a dramatic thing to see that and hear the actual words that were in the courtroom when this woman was being tried. Most witches were women. Very few were men, although men also were accused of witchcraft also.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that was interesting is that they put you in water. One of the tests to see if you were a witch is they put you in water, right? And if you floated, what do you think that was?
Right, I've heard of that also.
If you floated, I think they said you were a witch if you floated, right?
No.
Exactly, correct.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, if you floated, you were condemned. You were definitely practicing witchcraft and therefore needed to be killed.
Oh, dear. I was reading some stories, too, that a lot of these women were practicing being like a physician and a midwife and so forth, and they would give the people herbs for colds and flus and things. And a lot of the physicians in the areas and so forth didn't like the competition. I don't know if that's true or not, but a lot of the older women that were condemned had also been women that had been like a county doctor to the people and given them herbs that they had found and so forth. And a lot of them were elderly women that were condemned that did this. So I don't know if the doctors felt there was competition there or not, but I've read about that. Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. You know, when you look at the history and you see what goes on, it gives you a perspective of where we are now and what we are focusing on now. It just gives you that, as I'm sure you guys are well aware. One other thing that's interesting is that, remember the TV program called Bewitched?
I was going to mention that if you had watched that. Yes, I loved Bewitched.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Montgomery.
It was a very popular TV show way back when. I remember watching it, too. And in Salem, there is in one of the big squares a statue, a full-size statue of the Star of Bewitched.
Oh,
how wonderful. Oh, I just dearly loved
tourists,
that show. It was so much fun.
That was
and the tourists go to the statue and they take photographs with I can't think of her name. Who was the Star of Bewitched? Oh, my goodness.
Elizabeth Montgomery.
That's right. Exactly. Right. And they captured her face perfectly. It really does look like her.
Yeah, she was darling. Oh, just darling. Yeah, I know she passed away from cancer a long time ago, and I'm so sorry about that.
And there were two men.
Played the husband.
I know Peter York was one of them. I think he was the second one, or
he was
the first one. Do you guys remember the actors of the other actor, Peter York, and there was somebody else?
And then her mother.
Who was it?
Dick Sargent, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, Dick Sargent.
Thank you, Hercules. Yes. And then the mother, who was so famous.
Oh, yeah, the mother
name,
was
Agnes Moorehead.
Agnes Moorehead.
She was wonderful.
She was amazing. She really held that show together.
Oh, she did.
Do I have a few more minutes about Restless Salem, or should we?
Oh, please.
We have plenty of time. Is Gerald called in yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, thank you.
All right, go for it, Nick.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, there's a couple more things I think you'd find kind of fun. They also have, at the time of the weekend of Halloween, they set up a very large amusement park right in the area there, so you can walk to an amusement park, and they bring in all kinds of rides and games and everything like that for the tourists. And the tourists are flocking in for all that fun. So that also was set up there for Halloween. And they have a costume contest, of course, as part of the entertainment. And just a little note here that the Salem Witch Trials in 1692 and 1693 have earned a more prominent place in history for several reasons. The first is that the sheer number of people accused was much larger in Salem than any other colonies in the New World. Often, just a few people in the town were accused of witchcraft. In Salem, part of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, more than, get this now, 200 people from Salem were accused of practicing witchcraft, and nearly 10% of those accused were executed.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yes. You know, I want to mention, too, that there were some of the trials where a group of children were the accusers. They were little girls, and they found out later that these little girls had been eating these particular cakes.
They were accused.
They were accusing the elderly women.
Well, they were accusing
the children were accusing the elderly women of being witches, but they had been eating these cakes that were very popular in Europe, even today, that you can order them and buy them. I know in Alpenline, my Alpenline catalog, you can buy them.
Alpenline.
But they have their cakes, though, with these little seeds,
poppy seeds,
and they actually have done studies that they think that these poppy seeds, that these little girls were actually out of it, just so to speak, with the eating too many poppy cakes, and that they actually accused these women falsely. And they're actually blaming the poppy seed cakes for a lot of this disturbance. I thought that was very interesting. I can't imagine that happening, but it is recorded.
That is frightening. What a story. That is frightening. Oh, my goodness.
Poppy
and people
seed
lost
cake.
Their
can
lives
we, you can order those, too. They're in my Alpenland catalog, the poppy seed cakes.
Alpenland.
So they must have had a lot of poppy seeds in them.
Wow.
Other things, go ahead.
To go is that there's a lot of, again, witchcraft has been people have been accused of witchcraft, not just in America, the colonies, but all over Europe. There have been many cases of people being accused of witchcraft and trials.
Yeah.
So it's not just America at all. And this goes way, way, way back. in time. Another thing that's interesting is lighting candles on the eve of before Halloween was done to attract and welcome spirits, and those are people in families who had departed recently, and they also saved the place at the table for that particular person who had passed on. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. And also, a lot of people abstained from meat for some reason for that particular meal.
On Halloween Eve.
I mean, that's kind of wild too. And also, you know, and the reverse of that, because there is a reverse, is that wearing masks or costumes originally was so that the evil spirits wouldn't know where you were.
Oh.
It was hiding from the evil spirits. And that's a whole other slant on Halloween, is that the costumes we wear now, well, originally it was for a real purpose, which was to make sure that the evil spirits didn't know where we were.
Uh-huh.
And that was taken quite seriously. I mean, so you have some people welcoming the spirits and celebrating their departed loved ones. And on the other side, you have other people in other countries doing exactly the opposite. I thought that was really interesting.
Well, I know Michael could probably tell us better because he's been with the Catholic Church for over 25, 30 years. But I know that there were, we had services right at Halloween and also November 1st and 2nd. Mm-hmm. And they actually believed that that was a time when these spirits would be able to enter our world more easily. And therefore, this is what supposedly happened, that there was a door that was open during this time of year. And so I think that's probably what you're talking about. They would try and disguise themselves so the evil spirits would not know who they were.
But
of course, that wouldn't work.
But also welcome the good spirits.
Oh, absolutely.
Who had an opportunity there.
Oh, yes.
Michael,
right.
That would be called All Saints Day, isn't that correct, which is November 1?
Yeah,
course.
All Saints and All Souls.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes. I know we were at those services for so many, many years, decades, you know, every year. So I think that is an interesting part of it, that they do believe that there is a way to come into our world more easily at that time of year.
Absolutely true.
Michael?
And to honor the people who had passed, there are people in various religions that will put candles on the graves of the departed loved ones.
Exactly.
That's part of a tradition that also goes on in certain parts of the world.
Yes, that is true, and I'm getting that is a thing that even is done today. You know, I mean, today they still do that. Some of my friends, the Catholics, they do that. It's continued over centuries.
Halloween
is Hallows' Eve.
Hercules, what do you have to say?
It's the Celtic New Year as well.
Yes,
It's a time when the veil between the worlds is the thinnest. And all sorts of spirits normally we don't see or don't experience, be they ghosts, be they elementals, be they in-between spirits, are also free to come into the earth. And yes, if you have loved ones, they will also be coming in and visiting you during that time. The figures in Celtic mythology that are associated with the Celtic New Year or Halloween are the Dagda, who is a version of Hercules, and the Morrigan, who is a version of Athena. So Athena and I got married on Halloween for that reason.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh,
wow.
Congratulations. You'll be celebrating an anniversary.
Our 19th.
Oh, congratulations.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Oh,
thanks.
Tell Athena we love her and we're so happy for you both.
I will most certainly do that.
Absolutely. Well, that's wonderful.
So Nick,
Salem is that there. If you go there, don't miss the House of Seven Gables, which is there. That became a novel, which is, and you can go see that house.
Oh,
and also, when there are secret passages. And the guide said, why don't you go in and walk in one of the little secret passages? So they showed us where it was. And now I'm 6'2 and about 210 pounds. And I hate to tell you this, guys, but I got stuck. I got stuck in one of those little secret passages, the tiny little path. It was not wide, and I tried to get through it. And I, at one point, I was there. I was just stuck. They got me out of it, but I'll never forget that. Also, another one, too, to not miss is the old merchant's house, which is there. And that is also one you have to see. So it's quite a place. It's quite a town, and it is worth a visit, especially around the holiday of Halloween.
So, Nick, do they have any, are there any places like these secret passages or the merchant's house? Are any of them like quote-unquote haunted?
Some of them, they say that, yes, they say that there are haunted houses there. And some of the tours, they pointed out that that particular area is when, shall we say, very strange things have been spotted by tourists as well as the townspeople. And also, because it's right on the ocean, there are some very grand homes there, very beautiful, very large homes, because, of course, it was a capital for ships and merchandise, and there was money to be made. And so some of those people in the towns of Salem had incredibly beautiful houses, and there are streets to walk down, and you will feel as though you've been transported to a very different time. So I just want to recommend that also.
Well, Nick, that's fantastic. And, you know, someday we'll get there. I know we will. And someday you'll get here. I know you will. And if you come out here, Nick, we've got, you've probably heard of it, but it's the Queen Mary. I don't know if you've heard of the Queen Mary ship.
Oh, yes, I have, of course.
Oh, my goodness. It has quite a history of, you know, of specters and ghosts, and there's a little girl that supposedly appears
in white
in a pool, an area in the pool. And you know, we went to the Queen Mary. Oh gosh, it was like 4 or 5 years ago, maybe. And supposedly there was a sailor who got caught in between. There's like a door that they close so the water doesn't come in to the engine room.
Right.
Supposedly there was one of the crew members got caught in between the door, and of course he died. And we went to the Queen. Alex and I, Diane stayed up top, but Alex and I went into the engine room, and I got to tell you guys, I am absolutely petrified of like ghosts or anything like that. Right. So. It took some guts for me to go down there, you know. But we went down into the engine.
I believe that. Wow. No, I would love to see that. I would absolutely love to see that ship. Oh, yes.
Oh, it's amazing. But we went into the engine room, and it was kind of later in the day, so most of the tourists had gone. So it was only myself and Alex in the engine room by ourselves, you know.
Oh.
And I said, Alex, let's go back. Let's go back a little further, you know, to where the sailor had passed away and everything. But they've seen a couple ghosts down there. I think the sailor and another ghost or something like that. But you know, they have photographs and stuff too. It's kind of interesting. But the Queen Mary's fantastic. You got to see it if you come out.
Oh, I've seen pictures of it, and it's an incredible ship. Absolutely amazing. And, you know, you have to trust, as you know, your gut instincts. And when you're feeling that there's something special, there's something different about a room or a place that you believe it, trust your guts.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to mention that a lot of times I do see these celestials in a beautiful form. But most of the time lately, how they appear are these bright blue lights up above me, whether it's a ceiling, whatever the ceiling is, even other places like in like the mall or wherever, but they will be oftentimes in like kind of like almost the shape of a fish, the circular lights, and they'll be a bright blue, and they will be like fluid, like they're in water. So they don't always appear in a beautiful form with flowing gowns and different costumes. They often appear to me as lights, sometimes geometric formed lights. And Michael's saying he's afraid of ghosts, but we're living in a house that is filled with celestials all the time, and that doesn't bother him at all.
Well, but I can understand that, though. There's a big difference there. So I can understand that, both sides of that, of course.
But, you know, we just had the passing of his mother. And again, I wanted to mention, I didn't actually see her, but I did feel her presence. I really did. And she was especially in the beginning, the service, where Michael sang his song. And I want him to sing one of the songs that he sang for her at this service. It was on September 26th, and they had the coffin at the very end of the room. Of course, it was very beautiful, mahogany. And Michael got up and talked and then said he wrote this song within hours of hearing that his mother was gone. And that was September the 7th, and we had the service on September 26th. But I did feel her presence. I didn't see any lights or any vision of her, but I felt her. Now, this is the song that Michael wrote, and I'm going to ask him right now to sing it on his birthday for his mother. And it's called, Michael, will you tell us?
Yeah, it's called Fly Away. It's the one I sent you, Nick, and you gave me a call, and said
Hercules,
you really liked it.
Too.
Yeah, and Hercules. And
Michael,
Hercules.
I was absolutely knocked out with how beautiful that song is.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
He just wrote it in just a few hours after he heard the news from his brother, and it just so compelled him to sit down and compose this song.
Yeah. So it's called Fly Away. I sang a little bit of it on the last program, and I'm sorry we missed you during that portion, but we got you a little bit later. But I sang a little bit of it, but I'll sing the full version.
The full.
Yeah,
yes,
just
thank
a cappella.
You.
I mean, it's got a nice background and stuff. But okay, so Fly Away. Dedicated to my mother, Patricia, upon her passing on September 7th, 2022. Fly away, a new horizon, a brand new day. Fly away on the wings of angels. Fly away, you're on your way to a brand new day. Child of the universe, dweller on this planet Earth, your time has come to shine. Ready now to conquer death, leave the past behind, and fly, fly, fly away. A new horizon, a brand new day. Fly away on the wings of angels. Fly away, you're on your way to a brand new day. Fly away, fly away,
Bravo, bravo. That was
yes.
Beautiful. Michael, beautiful.
Thanks. Fly away. So,
fly away.
Yeah, as I was mentioning on the last program, so there was another song in the medley that accompanied it, mm-hmm. which was, it was called I Am There For You, and it was my chance to bring God or present God or share God, you know, with everybody there at the funeral mm-hmm. and to let them know that they too have a real opportunity, you know, to develop a personal relationship with God, that are gods, you know, that they are there for everyone just waiting for everyone to have a wonderful relationship with them now and, you know, going forward. And then the second part of the medley was Fly Away, you know, which was my my gift of telling them or saying to them that, you know, there is an afterlife, there is a wonderful life beyond this life for the soul to experience, you know, with the Father, the Mother, the gods, so on and so forth. So it was a wonderful time, but it was a sad time. But here we are now. We're continuing on with the worldwide religion of love through the sixth revelation.
I just want to mention, too, that I had received that she is going to be observing the world for another 6 years here, very close to us. And I think that's interesting to note, that a lot of people, you know, don't realize that after they pass on, all of a sudden they're going to be still alive. I mean, they're going to be very surprised, I'm sure. But anyway, I'm told different things, that some people will stay close for a few years, up to maybe 30 years, even possibly. But they do observe, and a lot of times I'm sure they are surprised that, oh my goodness, I'm still alive, and I'm able to see and hear and even feel. And so it's a remarkable situation that we go through.
Hey, did you guys ever see the movie Ghost? I'm sure you have, with Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze.
Oh, yes, yes.
Hercules, have you seen it?
Yes, years ago.
So it's interesting how, you know, he dies pretty early on in the movie, and he realizes that he's alive and that he has an amazing life that he's, you know, and he's observing, and he actually gets involved in, you know, the whole thing. But I'm just wondering if, you know, that's how it is for everyone, or, you know, if maybe people go on automatically, directly to wherever they're going. You know, I'm sure it's probably different for everyone. I don't know what you guys have, you know, thought about.
Well, I just have one thought right now, and that is love is forever. Absolutely.
Mm, how beautiful.
I totally believe that.
Thank
love
you.
Is
Thank
forever,
you.
And it's limitless, absolutely limitless.
Yes, and it is forever. It can be forever, of course. Well, you know, Michael and I believe that we were together in the past life and that we loved each other, but not as we are now, married, a couple, but as dear friends working in a religious situation together, Ellen White and John Harvey Kellogg. And they were 26 years apart, just like Michael and I are. And we believe that we really did spend that life together. In the past, she was born in 1826, and he was born 26 years later. So, you know, you just never know. You know, you pass on, but then, oh my goodness, there's a life ahead that can be more exciting and more beautiful than ever.
I think that's one of the most, for me, one of the most important passages of the Urantia book is talking about what happens when we graduate from
yes.
this life on this planet,
right.
and
yes.
what happens then. And I read every page of that many, many times, and it was a time when I was losing some of my dearest friends to AIDS at that time.
Oh,
it
yes.
was a very challenging time.
Terrible.
And the Urantia
so
book got me through. It got me through it. It really did get me through a terrible time.
Of course. You know, Ellen wrote in the Urantia book, I believe she did with John Harvey write a lot of the Urantia book, but she also put her own name in it. She talked about a girl, a very religious girl, who saved her whole planet and humanity, and her name was Eleonora. So I believe that Ellen put her own name in there just to give a hint that maybe there was a young woman who was so religious and dedicated that she tried to save everyone on her planet for the Lord.
Wow. Wow.
All right, guys. Well, I think we're coming here to the end of our wonderful program and birthday celebration. Is there anything else, Nick, you wanted to say about your trip to Salem, Massachusetts before we get our contact information?
Well, I just think that I recommend that. And next month, Diane has asked me to talk about our trip to Plymouth Rock and for Thanksgiving, because we went there
we
for
would
that.
Love
so,
it.
And that's going to be an interesting story, I think. Some very unusual things happened. I think you'll find it amazing. So looking forward to sharing that with you. And Michael, again, a wonderful, wonderful birthday to you, dear friend.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Hey, and I want you to keep your songs flowing too. Are you in any music project? I know you're doing you're teaching drama, but are you doing any musical stuff?
Well, tomorrow night, as a matter of fact, Saturday night from 9 to 10, Diana Munford launches her new show. And I'm very excited. She's a dear friend of mine. She's an amazing personality. And she's going to ask me about my, among other things, about my song I'm writing right now, as well as two songs I had written in the past. So hopefully at least one or two of them will be played. And the third one, I'm going to, for the first time, premiere the lyrics, which I think are probably the best lyrics I've ever written. So that's all going to happen tomorrow night from 9 to 10. So thank you for that intro.
Oh, we will be praying for you. We certainly will. And I was supposed to be a Halloween baby. I was supposed to be, but I was late, and I wasn't born until November the 12th. But my mother had prepared for Halloween baby.
Wow. Wow.
So Michael and I both
really
were
is.
Supposed to be Halloween babies. He was early and I was late.
That's incredible. Really.
All right. Well, Nick, I wish you wonderful luck on your show tomorrow night and all of your musical endeavors. And you're teaching your improv class. I mean, what better to have an improv class in New York, you know, taught by Nick? I mean, that would be amazing. I wish I could take the class.
It's one of the most fun things I've ever done. And the people who've come to my class, everything from professional actors to people who've never done anything at all in theater, and together we're quite a team, and we have had magical moments, absolutely, in improv. I'm going to give you my email real quick, which is nicknyny1@gmail.com. And if anybody would like to chat as far as a question or a comment, I would love that.
Well, thank you, Nick. And our contact information is, we have a couple different things going on here. If you want to email us, definitely we'd like to talk to you. It's michaelduncan1@hotmail.com, MICHAELDUNKIN, the number 1@hotmail.com. And then we have a YouTube channel. It's Michael and Diane Duncan. Diane is with two N's. We have over 100 videos of our team meetings, our past radio programs, Maitreya messages. We also have songs, and we have our artwork there. And then also you can search Reverend Michael Duncan on Amazon Music, iTunes, Spotify, and we have 5 Urantia Book-inspired albums on those particular platforms. And we love the Urantia Book, Fifth Revelation. You can go to urantiabook.org. To check out, you can read it online, and they've got lots of other wonderful ancillary documents and things you can study guides and things like that. We are here on the earth, and we are here to shine the light of God to all of our fellow human beings, to uplift them, and with the aid of Gabriel and Aphrodite with their worldwide religion of love, and the local universe father, and local universe mother, Zeus and Hera, we are in the process of heading toward a golden age of love, light, and truth. And we hope everybody will jump on board and have that wonderful new relationship with the father and the mother.
Happy Halloween to everyone, Hercules, you and Athena, and your
Thank
son
you.
And Nick and everyone listening.
Thank
and
you.
Happy Halloween to you. Happy birthday to Michael. And thank you for another wonderful and thoughtful show. Nick has already introduced tomorrow's new show, the Dan Monfort Show, and I'm looking forward to the launch and to learning more about Nick Curto.
Wow. Wonderful.
And Diana Monfort is really, she rocks. I mean, she really rocks, and you're going to love her program. I'm telling you,
I am thrilled
that she's going to be on now. And wait till you hear what she's about. You're going to love her.
And what time is this?
From 9 to 10.
And is that New York time?
That would be East time, Eastern time.
So it's 6 o'clock.
Oh, 6 to 7 our time.
Okay,
gotcha.
Well, God bless you. And this is tomorrow night?
Tomorrow
yes.
night, Saturday night from 9 to 10. And Diana rocks. You'll see.
Oh, that's wonderful. God bless everyone. Have a wonderful Halloween.
Okay, you too. Take care, everybody.
All right.
Much love.